In the midst of National Marriage Week, the Church today celebrates World Marriage Sunday. And therefore, on the occasion of these celebrations, we should take some reflection on the blessings of marriage. Today's readings speak eloquently on the subject of faith. Certainly from our gospel, to be the salt of the earth, the light of the world, or a city set on a mountain takes faith. And certainly from our reading from St. Paul, to be resolved to know nothing except Jesus Christ crucified takes faith. And so with marriage, let us begin with that premise. Marriage takes faith. There is a story about the funeral of Martin Luther King in which one of the reporters covering the event stopped to talk to an old man standing by the edge of a cemetery. The reporter asked him, "What did this man mean to you?" The old man, overcome with emotion, answered simply, "He was a great man because he was faithful. He believed in us when we had stopped believing in ourselves, and he stayed with us even when we weren't worth staying with." Now, if any of you may be thinking to yourself, "Wow, that sounds a lot like my marriage," you would be right, because a good marriage is like that. What the old man defined so accurately in his testimony to Martin Luther King is what faith means. To be full of faith means precisely to be faithful. Because in the end, faith is not simply a good, secure, and fuzzy feeling that God exists. Rather, faith is a commitment to a way of living beyond good and secure feelings. That is, faith is not so much in our head, what we think we should do, or in our hearts, what we feel we should do. Faith, rather, is something that we must do. It is the act of a lifelong, sustained commitment. And whether we call this kind of commitment our intuition or conviction, it is that deeper part of us that has the final authority before we commit ourselves to anything significant in life. And so when Jesus said, "Love one another as I have loved you," a man and a woman in marriage make a commitment to each other that withstands the fleeting vagaries of how they may think or feel on any given day. And the Church calls this marital commitment a covenant, a powerfully weighted word that today has lost much of its biblical meaning. A covenant, biblically speaking, is not so much an exchange of promises as it is an exchange of personhood. And this exchange in personhood is God's covenant with humanity. "I will be your God, and you will be my people." And when we can see marriage this way, it will be your love for each other that will sustain your marriage in good times and in bad, and in sickness and in health. And within your commitment, you both become in marriage what was promised in Scripture, that the man leaves his father and mother and clings to his wife, and the two of them become one body, one flesh. And this image of how two persons become one has been captured poetically and mystically throughout the ages of our tradition. For instance, poetically from the Song of Songs, it is written, "I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine." Mystically, Richard of St. Victor offers us this possibility when he said, "Love is the ability to see oneself in the other and then to bring love to its logical conclusion, to say if love is the ability to see oneself in the other, then love is the ability to see oneself in the other until there is no other, until the two become one. And that's the ecstasy of love, and why it has to happen just once in your lifetime to know that it is true, that in the ecstasy of love, otherness is no longer otherness. We even find this imagery reflected in our language when we say we fall in love, when we figuratively fall out of ourselves for the sake of the other, when we fall out of our selfishness into the life of another. Paradoxically, it is only when we lose ourselves for the sake of another that we find ourselves. Because it is God in you who loves, because God is you more than you are yourself. This is the love God has for us, and the love we know that is true by our experience of it. It seems today every marriage begins with the expectation of attaining some level of perfection. And especially in our culture, there exists this pressure for perfection that pervades every aspect of our life. Everyone wants perfection. So what makes a perfect marriage is the question. Is a perfect marriage simply one that survives the test of time? For couples and marriages of 40, 50, or 60 or more years, would they say their marriages are perfect? Well, I think for anyone who's been married that long, they know better. Because those who've been married that long, they know that a perfect marriage has absolutely nothing to do with perfection. I believe they would say that a perfect marriage is about that person who has seen you at your worst and can still say that I love you. I believe they would say that a perfect marriage is about maturing in love to be able to forgive each other's imperfections. And when you can do that, that's your perfection. Lastly, I'd like to share a story with you about a dear friend who taught me a most memorable lesson about marriage in the fewest of words. 6 years ago, Joseph Silva, then 93 years old, 5'5", soft-spoken gentleman of Portuguese descent, he came to me wanting to enroll in the parish adult confirmation program. He had never been confirmed. His beloved wife, Florence, of 71 years, had passed away a year before, and he was still painfully mourning her death. Joseph said Florence wanted him to complete his sacraments before he died, and so he came to me to make good on that promise. And so, because of his health, much of our conversations about the sacrament of confirmation occurred in his home. But there was one occasion where he actually drove himself to the parish and attended a confirmation class, which on that day had as its topic the sacrament of marriage. When he arrived, and because he was married for 71 years, I gave him a seat in the center of the class, and I asked him to share, what is the secret of a happy marriage? And the class fell silent and leaned forward to hear what he had to say. And Joseph's eyes simply welled up, and he said, I loved my Florence for 71 years, 8 months, 12 days, 15 minutes.